stand by. We are about to begin. Good day, and welcome to the full year 2017 results of Showroom Privé conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Thierry Petit, co-founder and co-CEO of Showroom Privé. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us for 2017 full year result conference call. I'm Thierry Petit, co-founder and co-CEO, and today I am with David Dayon, co-founder and co-CEO, as well as Thomas Kenzie, our CFO. As usual, the document we'll comment today is made of three sections. On the first section, we will first summarize 2017 key business highlights. We'll come back on some of the strategic initiatives we ran this year and the operational issue we faced and that led us to revise down our financial objectives during the year. Secondly, Thomas will present our detailed financial results, and then we'll close the presentation by unveiling our performance 2018-2020 plan, and we'll then be available to take your question. So let's start with the key business highlight of 2017. 2017 was a contrasted year, with on one side several key strategic and business initiatives that reinforced the group for the future and contributed to an increased customer engagement, and on the other side, a disappointing financial performance. Among the area of satisfaction and cornerstone for the future, we implemented our omni-channel vision thanks to our partnership with Carrefour and Conforama. We made the acquisition of Beauté Privée and finalized the integration of Sally Privati. We faced a strong growth momentum in our international market, where we posted a 34% organic growth this year. We boosted members' engagement with our Net Promoter Score up 4 points and 90% of repeat purchase intention. And we reinforced our leadership on mobile, which accounts today for 82% of our traffic and 62% of our sales. However, 2017 was also a year marked by operational issues, which led us to review our initial financial objectives and post our results. Our net sales grew by 21% at 655 million, and our EBITDA margin, excluding Sally Privati, reached 2.6%, which corresponds to a 2% rate on a reported basis. We did over the past month a detailed review of what worked and what did not work, and we decided to launch a performance 2018-2020 plan that will enable us to bring back Showroom Privé to its full potential and to unlock our growth opportunities in the immediate term. We will detail this plan later in section 3. Let's first spend more time on key achievements of the year. As I say, we significantly reinforced our strategic positioning thanks to 4 strategic transactions. Thanks to our partnership with Conforama and then with Carrefour, we implemented our omni-channel vision, which was strategic for us as we firmly believe that the future of e-commerce is omni-channel, and the support of a leading retailer such as Carrefour will bring a lot to us. Thanks to these partnerships, we will benefit from significant pocket of value creation through commercial synergies, click and collect, marketing, and data cooperation agreements. It will significantly strengthen our positioning, attractiveness, and touch points with our customers. In 2017, we also expanded our third largest product category thanks to the acquisition of Beauté Privée, the French leading online flash sale player specialized in cosmetic and beauty products. And then, in Italy, our first international market, we finalized the integration of Sally Privati and completed the merge with showroomprivé.it platform as of June 1st. A quick point on international, as we confirm strong international momentum. International is our second area of satisfaction this year. The dynamic was particularly strong in the continuity of our second semester of 2016 and the first semester of 2017. We posted a 55% growth this year, 34% inorganic, which took our net revenues at more than 110 million on a full year basis. This strong momentum is the result of several initiatives pursued over the last few months. We strengthened our local sourcing teams. We are close to 25 new salesmen. We created a central team in Paris in charge of international coordination and support in business development. We improved our local logistic network outside France. We invested in marketing to boost our brand awareness locally. And then, as I said, we completed Sally Privacy integration. We also continued this year to improve our user experience with the launch of a personalization module and the completion of the release of all our platforms. We expanded our delivery services with the launch of drop shipment, the opening of a new warehouse dedicated to our shoes offering, and the startup of a click-and-collect network in some Conforama stores. We kept developing our business by opening a platform in Morocco, and we launched our first media campaign in 2017. Last but not least, we pursued our social commitment with the second edition of our Look Forward Festival and the launch of our e-commerce school in Roubaix. This year, we also sustained by the engagement of our members with a 10% increase in the number of buyers and the recruitment of 1.2 million of new buyers. With 78% of our revenues from repeat buyers and 90% repeat purchase intention, we prove year after year the high and the very high level of satisfaction of our member, also supported by a 4-point growth of our net promoter score. Mobile performance is and remains a strong signal to our mobile-first strategy. It's the right one. Traffic on mobile reached 82% and sales 62%, up 5 and 6, 7 points respectively.
Let's spend some time now with the following slide to explain to you the reason of a lower than expected financial performance. On the commercial side, 2017 was a year marked by a mixed performance by product category. On our historical fashion categories, accounting for 53% of our sales this year, continue to post a strong growth and outperform the group performance with a 23% of growth. While our non-fashion category rose by 18%, mainly impacted by the underperformance in Q4 of our non-historical product categories, such as high-tech, toys, or equipment. This underperformance is driven by a lack of commercial efficiency in this category, resulting in missed opportunity and lower results. It's also due to the fact that we cannot approach these non-fashion brands in the same way as we do for fashion brands. We learned that this year, and we'll have to change it in 2018. On the next slide, we have laid down the elements that have weighed on our results. Our financial performance was impacted by the combined effect of lesser than expected revenues on additional costs. From a revenue perspective, we faced commercial issue, as I said, with some missed opportunity in certain product categories, particularly in Q4, and a lack of business monitoring. We also incurred difficult trading conditions, particularly in Q2 and Q4, where the Black Friday had the effect to delay the launch of Christmas shopping period. From a cost standpoint, we faced execution issue and is notably related to the increasing of firm purchases insufficiently anticipated, 29% of our sales vs 20% last year, which had the effect to weigh on our logistic costs. And the cost structure was calibrated to absorb a higher growth. Sadly, private integration was also more difficult than anticipated, generated some extra costs, and consume a lot of energy and resources. In parallel, we continue to invest for the future with the reinforcement of our international sourcing team and the build-up of a complete team dedicated to our media offering, which created extra costs, for sure, without immediate revenue contribution. Most of these elements are due to internal issues or inefficiencies that will be fixed in 2018. we still believe that our business model is strong, fashion is performing very well, our members are increasingly engaged, and we are confident that with the corrective action that we will detail in Section 3, we will be back, we will bring back SRP to its full potential. I hand over now to Thomas, who will present you our 2017 detailed results.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Let's now focus on our detailed financial performance. Started with revenue, we realized €655 million of revenue in 2017, corresponding to a 21% growth and to a 13% growth on a like-for-like basis. The growth was driven by our French operation, which grew by 14% to reach €519 million, and by our international operations, which grew by 55% and reached €111 million, confirming the very positive dynamics observed in our international market since the end of last year and the success of the multi-local strategy we implemented in 2016. The growth was slower in the second semester due, as David mentioned, to some commercial issue we faced in Q4. In total, our revenue growth reached 17% in H2 and 9% on an organic basis. On the next slide, we present you an overview of the growth by quarter. As you can see, our 2017 revenue growth was impacted by a lower growth in Q4. In total, we posted a 10% revenue growth in Q4, which is lower than what we are used to report. Our performance in Q4 was impacted by, as David said, by the commercial issue resulting in several missed opportunities and the underperformance of a few non-fashion product categories, which are generally strong at year-end. And also by the Christmas shopping period, which started 2 weeks later this year due to Black Friday, which was a big event for the first time in many of our geographies. And to further comment on the impact on Black Friday, we actually did our best day ever on Black Friday. But what we did not anticipate is that people would wait for Black Friday to start their Christmas purchases. And as a consequence, we started our Christmas season too early at a time when people were not ready to buy. And given that our campaigns are time limited, we missed some key sales as they were positioned too early and before the start of the Christmas season. On the next slide, you can see that we continue to benefit from a sustained customer engagement. The total number of buyers during the year went up by 10% to reach 3.6 million. Our average internet revenue per buyer increased for the second consecutive year by 6% to reach close to €170. And the 6% growth in average revenue per buyer was driven by a 5% increase in order frequency, with our customers placing on average 4.4 orders in 2017, showing that we managed to induce more and more repeat purchases. The average basket size was relatively stable, actually slightly up at 1%. On slide 14, we are showing an overview of the evolution of our gross margin. Went up by 15% to reach €239 million. The gross margin, however, went down to 36.5%, which corresponds to a 200 basis point decrease versus last year. This decrease in the gross margin rate, as you can see it on the chart, is explained by three factors. First of all, conversion and retention investments, such as Infinity, punctual free delivery initiatives, and price investments. And all these initiatives had an impact of 80 bips on our gross margin. The second thing that impacted our gross margin is the consolidation of Saldi Privati, which has a lower gross margin, and therefore the consolidation of Saldi Privati had a negative impact of 40 basis points on our group gross margin. And the third element is a slight increase of reimbursement, as well as the resales of as well as the sales of all the inventory at a low margin. And the combined effect of these two elements had an impact of 80 bips. The second and the third point will be fixed through specific management action in 2018 in order to ensure that we won't face a similar impact looking forward. On the next slide, we provide you with a detail of our cost structure. Our operating costs went up 160 basis points, rising from 34.2% to 35.8% of revenues due to changing this scope related to our recent acquisition, due to storage costs linked to more substantial than expected firm purchases. As David mentioned, firm purchases represented this year 29% of our revenue versus 20% last year. And the operating costs went up as well due to higher overhead costs. In detail, as you can see on the right-hand side of the chart, our marketing expenses were relatively stable at 5% of our revenue versus 4.8% last year. The delta coming mainly from consolidation scope effect as Beauté Privée and Sadie Privati are spending slightly more in marketing as they are smaller than us. Logistics and under processing and logistic and fulfillment costs rose from 22.6% of our revenues in 2016 to 23% in 2017 due to additional storage costs and processing costs linked to the insufficiently anticipated rise of firm purchases over the year. And this generated extra storage costs in the range of 4 million euros. And without these extra costs, you know, our logistic and fulfillment costs would actually be slightly down. And lastly, regarding G&A, they increased from 6.8% to 7.8% of our revenues, and this increase is due to the acquisition of Sali Privati and Beauté Privée, which basically had increased our G&A by 6 million euros. It's also due to investment made during the year to reinforce the international team and create a dedicated media and data team. And more generally speaking, as we mentioned earlier, our cost structure was set to absorb a higher growth, and therefore, given that our revenue was slightly lower than expected, we benefit from a lower operating leverage than what we initially anticipated. So we have a specific management action to recover in 2017 the operating leverage we had in the past, and we will focus in 2018 on our logistic and G&A costs in particular. On the next slide, you have an overview of our EBITDA. The group EBITDA for 2017 reached 13.1 million euros in decline versus last year due to a lack of commercial efficiency in the end of the year and higher OPEX, as described before. Excluding the impact of Sali Privati, it reached 16.2 million euros, corresponding to an EBITDA margin of 2.6%. The EBITDA in France reached close to 26 million euros, corresponding to a margin of 4.7%. When it comes to international activities, we reported a loss of 12.7 million euros as a result of Sali Privati integration, whose EBITDA reached minus 3.2 million euros. But also due to a more aggressive pricing on certain international markets, and also the weight of our international marketing expenses, because as you know, we still need to increase the awareness and increase the scale of our international operation, and marketing expenses represent more in our international market than what we spend in France. Finally, a few words about cash flow generation. Net change in cash in 2017 was negative by 46 million euros. As we said during our first half result, we had a negative change in cash of 56 million euros in the first half, impacted by the significant increase of our inventory purchases. However, during the second half of the year, the group posted a 10 million euro positive net change in cash and generated 12 million euros of free cash flow. Our cash generation during the year was mainly impacted by three elements. First of all, a lower EBITDA. Secondly, an increase in the working capital requirements. We generated a cash outflow of 38 million euros, And thirdly, also the acquisition of Beauté Privée for roughly, which costed us roughly 11 million for 60%. The increase in working capital requirement by 38 million euros stems from the higher than expected increase in firm purchases, as we mentioned before, and the consequence of which was that actually we have an increased inventory level and we have a decreasing supplier payment cycle. The group's inventory level nonetheless dropped significantly compared to H1 from nearly 150 million euros at the end of June to close to 93 million euros at the end of December. And the group holds now a very young stock as 79% of total inventory have less than 12 months of existence at year end.
Thank you, Thomas. In light of our 2017 financial performance, we have carried over the past few months a detailed review of our organization and business to understand what worked and what did not work, the areas of inefficiencies, and identify short-term and mid-term management action. This led us to decide to launch our performance 2018-2020 plan, articulated around clear and pragmatic short- and medium-term initiatives. Short-term target is to stay focused on execution and bring back SRP to its full potential with three primary objectives. One, refocus on the group key pillar, members and brand partner. Two, improve operational efficiency. Three, rethink our marketing approach. Medium-term objective will enable us to unlock new growth opportunities with three strategic priorities. One, deliver better, faster, and at a lower cost. Two, develop new source of revenues and margin with our data and media activities. And three, leverage all the potential embedded in our strategic partnership with Carrefour. Our three short-term objectives will be progressively achieved throughout 2018. Step one, refocus on fundamentals. After having spent 1 year to shape the group with strategic projects, Thierry and myself have decided to refocus the organization on two fundamentals, which are the relationship with our members and brand partners. This is a priority for our organization, but also for Thierry and I, we have decided to devote from now on most of our time in supporting the two business areas, and this is already effective. Step two, more operational efficiency. Before the end of June, we will also reinforce our commercial approach by strengthening our sourcing team and changing our commercial approach with strategic brands. We will implement new management tools and cross-department committees to ensure adequate business monitoring. To support the whole organization and keep scaling the group for tomorrow, we will invest further in our IT teams and platform in 2018. We will recruit 40 engineers in our IT project and data science team. Step three. Rethink our marketing strategy. During H1, we will also gradually shift our marketing approach historically focused on acquisition to a strategy geared towards member engagement, loyalty, and brand preference. To be very practical, the following two slides provide a view on detailed action we will take as part of our operational efficiency and marketing evolution objective. As part of our commercial approach reinforcement, we will reorganize the team around six areas of expertise. Recruit profile with a more retail background in non-fashion categories. Develop annual joint business planning with strategic brands instead of opportunistic approach. And provide our partner with a holistic approach going beyond overstock clearance and offering media, trade, and data services. And we will put a stronger senior focus on the prospection of new brands and new group. We will also bring more rigor in business monitoring with implementation of new tools in commercial and finance areas, reinforcement of our finance team, and strengthened validation process for all firm purchases and closer monitoring for all of our inventories.
Then, on the marketing side, we will rethink our approach in order to align it with current paradigm of digital ecosystem. Practically, we have already merged our marketing and brand agency departments and we structure the teams with senior recruitment. We have created two departments dedicated to products, analytics, and innovation, growth hacking initiatives. We will leverage our proprietary data to boost the return of our marketing tool, such as look-alike strategy implementations. We intend to change our approach into a data efficiency mode, implying to not use data only for analyzing the past, but also to predict the futures and optimize the cost for acquisition. We will finally shift from a mobile-first to a mobile-only approach in our marketing acquisition. On the following slide, we will present the three medium-term strategic priorities on which we will invest to unlock new revenue growth and margin opportunities. First of all, we are very happy to announce that we will start the partial insourcing of our logistics services by opening by the end of 2019 a new warehouse for consignment flows with high product specialization and automatization. Based on a recognized pocket sorter technology, this represents 11 million investments and offers a short payback and high return with more than 40% cost per order reduction by 2020. This warehouse will treat around 20% of the group order flows in 2020. With a very clear commercial target, the digital woman, and more than 2 million visits per day, we have highly valuable assets that we will intend to monetize. We have huge traffic, proprietary and qualitative data, an independent organization in place, and direct access to advertisers. We are aware of the strong appetite from brand partners to pull more levers than only our stock clearance. We already have the means of our ambition, thanks to our dedicated team in place, a DMP already set up, and more than 130 clusters created, we will be able to cross-sell a full range of services. Finally, we have a great partnership in place with Carrefour and a common strategy to develop a leading omnichannel offering with significant value creation potential. Our partnership notably covers commercial, logistics, marketing, and data areas, and will enable us to first, expand our offering, having access to Carrefour's brand portfolio. Then deploy a leading click and collect network with more than 5,000 stores in France and 12,000 throughout the world. Implement innovative cross-marketing solutions, allowing to boost recruitment of new members and buyers. And develop a valuable partnership around our proprietary data. Looking forward, we have a lot of opportunities for future growth. First, we have a lot of new brands to recruit, and many of our categories are still to be developed. We have numerous new business, such as I say, data to address. We have a huge potential in our international markets, and we have a transforming partnership with Carrefour. We just have to stay focused on our performance 2018-2020 plan. Despite our 2017 results, we are fully confident in the structural quality of our business model, our sector, and our positioning, and we firmly believe that success is only a matter of execution. Thanks, everybody. So we are now available for Q&A.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, it is *1. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for a question. And once again, it is *1. We'll take our first question from Charlie Mearsands with Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got three, really. The first one is on the age of your inventory. You gave that figure, I think it was 78% is less than 12 months old. Is that the age that you've held it for or the age of when it was produced? And can you just give us some context as what that percentage was a year ago? That's the first question. The second one is you kind of indicated that you think a lot of the challenges and problems that the company faced in 2017 were internally caused. but clearly the revenue slowdown in the fourth quarter, you know, I accept there was a bit of a shift in the pattern of behavior, but how confident are you that it's just not competitive intensity, you know, increasing a lot, and things really that you can fix easily? And then the final one is on guidance. I appreciate you have not given 2018 guidance, and you make a comment that you will, you know, look to do that at the half-year stage. But can you give us any comfort that you think you will make any progress, for example, at the EBITDA level in the year ahead?
Okay, maybe I take the two financial questions, and Thierry and David will take the one on the competition. So regarding Charlie's age of inventories, at the end of 2017, we had 79% of our inventories which are less than 12 years old. So this corresponds, I mean, we are, our business is selling overstock, so basically this corresponds to the age we hold the stock. And last year, to answer your question, we had 71% of our inventory that were less than 12 months old. So basically our inventory are much younger than last year. Regarding guidance, we will update you on the medium term guidance as part of our full year results. Yeah.
Okay. According to your question concerning the competition, first of all, I just want to underline the fact that the growth was not so good in Q4, but mainly in non-fashion category, because if you are looking at the fashion category, which is in the heart of our business model, they are performing very well, still very well. But the performance was offset by a negative contribution from non-historical categories, which are generally strong at the end of the year, like high-tech, epic equipment, toys. In terms of competition, I would say that, honestly, the competition has always been strong, and we have always been a challenger. We are not in direct competition with Amazon, who has actually stopped last year its two flash sale business in Europe and the U.S. And our competitive advantage are not related to volume, but much more to our attractive commercial targets, the digital woman, our member base, which is around 30-40% exclusive compared to our main competitor, Vente Privée, our relationship with brands, that is much more now is in a long-term vision, and our UX and engagement platform.
So we really think that the slowdown in Q4 is due to a lack of commercial efficiency in these non-fashion categories, where we faced a lot of missed opportunities. The potential is there. It's just a matter of discipline and execution, and this will be addressed through our the detailed action plan that we have detailed during our presentation.
Okay, thank you very much.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, it is star one. We'll take our next question from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Sorry for the follow-up. The line wasn't very good for me. So regarding the 2018 guidance, when I expected to give some more flavor on what should we expect in terms of the growth rates in and outside France, and also in terms of profitability in and outside France? That's the first question. Second question, on the Salty Privacy integration, it seems to me that actually with H1 results, you were more or less happy with this integration and expecting already some cost savings in the second half of 2017. That didn't come through, did it? So what were the reasons for more than expected difficulties at this integration, and where are you now? Is it all done? Do you expect improved stability? Do you see the impact on your top line, i.e. the sales synergies coming through, etc.? Another question is on the refocus of the founders' attention on brand clients and the members. So if it is refocusing of the attention on those two things, where was the focus before? And then last but not least, if you're saying that all those things, it's just a matter of, you know, execution, but execution was an issue in the past. So how can we track if execution has been improving? Thank you.
Maybe I will take the last question. As we said, we were very focused on the strategic partnership, what we have done with Carrefour, what we have done with Stade Privati, with Voté Privé, and maybe and with Conforama, Steiner for sure, and maybe we were less focused on the operational things as members and brands, and we gave some responsibility to people, and they missed something. So now, as everything is behind us now, or the strategic operations are behind us now, we are 100% focused on the operation, that because to stay very close to the big brands, to the big group, it's a huge investment, and we have so in terms of numbers is the same. Marketing is evolving a lot, so for us now, our main goal is to be very close to this big pillar of our business, where we used to do that for a long time. So for us now, it's more easy, not easy, but it's more accessible to do that. So I think we made a lot of things in 2017, and now we're fully committed for that.
Then for the guidance, so as we said, it is year of execution and the effect of our performance to 2018-2020 plan will materialize progressively during the year. So we want to bring back Jean Privé to its full growth and margin potential. It will take a few months. And all that we are doing this period, our goal is to improve our profitability and stimulate our growth. So in a short-term vision, we will now give guidance in for 2018.
And regarding Saldi Privati, I think we are happy with the work we've done and with the integration. I mean, we've done the difficult work, which consisted in merging our platform. This required a lot of time investment and resources from the top management, but all that is behind us, and now we can be more positive for the future and achieve cost and revenue synergies as anticipated. So the objective is still to turn Saldi Privati profitable reasonably soon. We have a good plan for that. We have significantly reduced already the cost structure, but this is not visible yet on the 2017 figures because it has been done progressively. We have also reinforced the commercial team with a new commercial director that will help to improve the Italian sourcing, which is important for Saldi Privati. So, you know, the combination of all these initiatives should bear fruit reasonably soon.
Okay, understood. And then a couple of follow-up questions, if I can. Hello?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. First question is on the net debt position. Basically, if I look at the gross cash of 50 million, plus you have now long-term debt, it means that net cash position is roughly only at around 20, 22 million, down from almost 100 million last year or in 2016. So I struggle to reconcile. I see that obviously you had increase in the working capital, et cetera, but I just don't reconcile the increase in working capital with such a cash burn that you have last year. That's first question. Second question, regarding the expected development in 2018, I appreciate that, okay, that probably you don't want to give the guidance for the time being for 2018, but if you look at, for example, at the P&L lines, on the gross margin, you still have high inventories, so that means that you still have to get rid of them, right? So should we expect some investment in pricing to get rid of inventories? And should we also expect reversal of the consignment? So sales as a share of sales and has, again, a bit of negative impact on the gross margin, while at the same time, the fact that the Infinity has been launched a while ago, we should not have any more a negative impact on the gross margin. That's first big P&L line. Second P&L line is the marketing cost. You're refocusing your marketing effort, but does it mean still that you will expect a bit more spend per customer, and hence we should expect a bit of increase in marketing as percentage of sales. In terms of the distribution costs, again, there was some increase, given that you want to, again, to reinforce your offer to the customers, but at the same time you're investing in the warehouse, et cetera, should we also expect some headwinds to the margins here? But at the same time, you have invested a lot in SG&A. There should be some cost savings with Sadi Privati. And hence, on the SG&A line, we should see some support to the margins. Would it be correct way of thinking? That's one part of the question. And then another question on the top-line growth. Obviously, there was a big slowdown in Q4. What about the current trading? How do you see the January-February months of the year? Thank you.
Okay, and I think, thank you. It was very, very detailed, so I've tried to take notes, but I may ask you to repeat your last questions because I'm not sure I can remember everything. First, talking about cash flow generation, I mean, if you look at net debt, at net debt evolution, so first of all, we had a negative cash outflow related to more working capital, so that costed us minus 38 million euros. And then the second effect, which explains the gap with the 60 million changing cash you mentioned, and changing net debt you mentioned, is due to the acquisition of Beauté Privée. So we acquired 60% in 2017 for a cost of 11 million euros. But on top of that, we have a call option, and they have a put option for the remaining 40%, and this is accounted in our net debt, and the cost would be 12 million. So you need the cost, the overall impact on net debt of the Beauté Privée acquisition on a 100% basis is 22 million euros plus 2 million of earnout that will be paid in 2018. So overall, it's 24 million euros for Beauté Privée.
I will take the question about the inventory. So, first of all, we don't have to get rid about it because it's a fresh inventory. We just bought it because we wanted to buy it. As we said before, maybe we bought too much because there were a lot of opportunity, and we wanted to buy this kind of stock because it was an opportunity for us to start sometime. To work with a big group, so maybe sometimes we bought too much, maybe we pay some extra team price sometimes, but at the end of the day, we don't want to get rid about that. Second fault, so we will sell it in a normal way, and now, because we monitor very well and our inventory, so we are confident with that. And don't forget that the inventory is still the fuel of our company, okay? And what the most important thing is to stay fresh when you have this kind of inventory. So for the moment, we have no issue on that. And the containment term, don't forget that that's still our main business. It's 70, it will be 70% of our activity. It's very important for the brand partner to keep this kind of containment model because it's still profitable for them, more profitable than the firm sell. So maybe we are not well anticipated. Our commercial team lost focus on cost-element sales. That's for sure what we learned. So now we said to them we want to reduce the firm sales and to increase the cost-element sales. So we just a matter of monitoring. And so we will put more cost-element sales and reduce the weight of firm sales in 2018.
So regarding the driver for margin improvement, I think in the presentation we tried to put red stars on a few cost items in order to identify what are the elements that weighted on our 2017 performance and that we will fix in 2018 in order to minimize their impact going forward and improve the margin. And basically, the action that we will take in 2018 at gross margin level concern the impact of Saldi Privati, because our objective is to improve the gross margin of Saldi Privati, and this will be done notably thanks to the merger of our platform, because now they have access to all our offering and therefore to better margin. And secondly, the second impact corresponding to the slight increase in reimbursement and the cleaning of all inventory. We are working on these two items. I mean, first of all, the cleaning of all inventory, this is over now. So now we have a very fresh inventory, so we shouldn't have the same impact. And regarding the increase in reimbursement, we are working on it. And we have already action in place to come back to slightly lower level of reimbursement. Then, in terms of OPEX, we also expect to benefit from a better operating leverage in terms of logistic and fulfillment. And this is because, first of all, we will put more monitoring and we will reduce the share of firm sales, so we will reduce the storage cost. Thanks to that, we should be able to have to find the operating leverage we used to have on our logistic and fulfillment cost structure. And regarding G&A, again, I think here we have been more focused on containing our G&A cost, and this should enable as well to see more operating leverage going forward. So I don't know, Anna, if it addresses all your questions or if you have a follow-up question.
Yes, on current trading.
Okay, so on the current trading, as we said, the effect of our performance plan will materialize progressively. The first effect will not necessarily be visible in from Q1, but you know, at this stage we are not commenting on current trading.
Thank you.
And as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, it is star one. We'll take our next question from Mary Ford with SG.
Good evening. I've got one question concerning Beauté Privée. Could you provide us the contribution to EBITDA? And also, you spoke about investment in a new logistic, about 11 million euro. Could you give us the phasing of this investment?
Yeah. So regarding Beauté Privée, we don't provide a breakdown by entity, but I think, you know, the performance of Beauté Privée has been very strong this year. They posted a strong growth and they continue to have a very very positive EBITDA margin. So we are very very happy with the performance of Beauté Privée so far, and it's and their integration is going very 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 smoothly. So a good acquisition for us in an important product category. Regarding
just something additional. Yeah. So you consolidating Beauté Privée in the French EBITDA, isn't it?
We consolidate in the French EBITDA because you know they are only present in Spain. But we only consolidated them.
It had a positive impact on your EBITDA margin in 2017.
Yeah, I mean,
the drop in margin would have been stronger, isn't it?
They have a higher margin than the group, so it has a positive impact on our margin. We only consolidated 9 months, but yeah, it has a positive impact on our margin. Yeah.
Okay.
A few colors on the logistic platform. In terms of financing, we will probably raise long-term debt. The project is self-funded and has a short payback to around 5 years, so it's easy to finance. Just to give you a color on that, in 2018, we'll have around 1 million of project costs, mostly below EBITDA. It will have a neutral impact in 2019, and around 4 million positive EBITDA impact in 2020, considering that it will help us on 20% of our flow, and it will give us 1 euro per order. So it's around, let's say, 4 million for 4 million orders. The full positive EBITDA impact will be reached in 2025 with the ramp up of our installation and growth.
And regarding phasing, we will incur 50% of the capex in 2018 and the other half in
50, you said.
Yeah, half in 2018 and the other half in 2019.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our last question from Nicolas Langlet with Exxon.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. But just two questions for me. The first one on the, can you tell us what was the like-for-like in Q4 and whatever the like-for-like was positive for the two regions, France and international? And second question on the partnership with Conforama, just to make sure, do you plan to continue the partnership with them? And if yes, can you tell us an update regarding the number of click and collect points you already implemented in 2017 and what's the outlook for 2018? Thank you.
Okay. On the like-for-like growth, it's around 5% in Q4 with a strong performance of our fashion categories. We are not communicating on international on Q4, but what you can do is for the full year, it's 34% of organic growth in international market, around 11% in France, and 13% organic growth. So for the Conforama partnership, we will keep the click and collect, and we are still working. You can actually buy on Showroom Privé and be delivered in a Conforama store. So we'll keep that, and some other partnership in terms of marketing interaction.
Yeah, as well.
Okay, and do you plan to expand further the partnership or keep it as it is today?
I mean, it's we will expand in more shops. As today, we will deploy showroom. We have deployed Showroom Privé in some in 20 something shops, and we will deploy all the shops of the Conforama network in let's say in the first in H1 2018.
Okay, in all Conforama network in France.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
We do have another question from Anton Aguirre with Audio. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. A lot of questions already answered, but maybe one last question regarding Infinity program. If I'm right, in end December 2016, you had roughly 100,000 members. You recruited 60,000 new members this year. Could you just break down how many new members were recruited in H2? And some question if this program is still really a focus, an important point for your development. Thank you.
Oh, it's we are communicating for the full year with 60% growth of Infinity members to reach 160,000 members. We are still very happy with the share of Infinity members and as it acts as a powerful retention and engagement tool.
And we are not giving information on a half year basis for Infinity.
Okay.
And it appears there are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to our speakers for any additional comments.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for your time. And we are available if you want to reach us if you have follow-up questions.
Thank you. Bye.
And that concludes today's presentation. We thank you all for your participation, and you may now disconnect.